Hello, everybody. I'm B. Jemine, aka the Terrible Charlotte, and welcome to the latest episode of Super Podcast. And with me, as always, is my trusty co-host, the one, the only, Super Marcy. How are you?
Hey.
Hello, Marcy. How are you?
Hey, I'm not too bad. We are having really hot weather in most of Australia, so like everyone else, I'm melting. And yeah, aside from that, not too bad. Health is always, you know, on the rocks, so today is not too much of a bad day, so it's podcast day.
Mm-hmm.
How are you, Bede?
Oh, not too bad, thanks. It's actually been quite a while since the last time I've been on the podcast, Marcy.
Yeah, we don't want you on it. I mean, what?
Oh. I think the last podcast I was actually on was the Slasher episode, and that was back like in late September.
Yeah, well, it has been quite a while, but welcome back.
Slackers!
Shut up.
To be fair, the few times there have been other podcasts in between then and now is because the times we were recording, I was couldn't make it due to scheduling, like if I had to go to a screening or holidays or family functions and stuff like that. So
fuck you for having a life, man.
Well, somebody has to. God.
Yeah, if I can't, somebody else has to. Well, we do have a big show. It is our annual yearly preview show, and we have brought along some guests. I can't pronounce English words. So, Bede, who have we dragged along?
Of course. For this very special episode, we have two very, very special guests. And first up, of course, is somebody who I'm trying my best to make my friend, but somehow she keeps my friendship for some bizarre reason. And that, of course, is Miss B. Harper. Hello, B. How are you?
Go fuck yourself, Bede.
It's still not going to work. I'm still going to
work. It's never going to work, sweetie, but good luck for trying.
Now, if you bribe me with something, I might consider not being your friend, but, you know, that's a whole different story altogether.
No, oh, I love you too.
Aww.
Oh.
Our other guest is from the other side of the world in the country of America, and that, of course,
I thought you said India.
India, said America. But anyway, other than a little bit of racism that was going on there, but we can edit that part out of America. Anyways, of course, is the also a number one and only, and that, of course, is my arch nemesis, only because I make fun of him all the time when he's for movies. But that, of course, is the one and only Mr. Garrett Collins. Hello, Garrett, how are you?
Hi, everybody. How's everyone today? You know, I would have spoke earlier, but while Marcy was talking about how hot it is, I could barely open my mouth because it's frozen shut. So it's very cold out here. But
from one extreme to the other, apparently, with our weathers.
Exactly. Very, very honored. Thanks, guys, for inviting me on. This is going to be a real pleasure. It's been way too long since I've been on. I'm really looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, unfortunately, our podcasts are few and far between, but we are aiming to fix that. So hopefully we'll be able to get you back on a lot more this year because you are still one of us. And
yes.
We do love you, even though we may disagree on a lot of opinions.
Yeah. But so does Siskel and Ebert, so, you know, it all goes hand in hand.
And they worked well. All right, let's get this party started. But first, Bede, why are you a terrible Australian for this episode of the podcast?
Oh, geez, where to start, Marcy? There's like 4 months of like bad movies to talk about.
Well, you better pick the worst one.
But I'll talk about one in particular, and that, of course, I'm a terrible Australian. Because I have seen Birdemic 2, The Resurrection.
How does it compare? I can't believe I'm saying
this. Would you believe me if I told you that this movie is simultaneously better and worse than the first one?
I think I could believe you.
That's not too hard to believe.
The hell you say.
This movie, Marcy, I'm not going to lie, this movie was a magical experience.
I can believe that.
I mean, like, the first one, yeah, like, it's terrible, it's unwatchable, but, you know, it's not as good as a, you know, fun, so bad it's a good movie as it could have been, but this one definitely makes up for it. This one is hilariously awful from start to finish.
Awesome.
And it just, like, throws shit at the screen just for no apparent reason, and it's just hilarious.
Awesome. I guess we'll all need to see Birdemic 2.
And really, I know, Marcy, for a fact that you're wondering, yes, the coat hangers do make a return in the sequel.
Yes!
But not only that, there's a scene, there's a hilarious scene where where the characters decide to karate kick birds. But the, oh, it's all done from the point of view of the bird, so it's like bird vision. So they're getting kicked in the face in bird vision.
I just want to see that part of the movie. I don't care about anything else. And the coat hangers.
Somebody please, so Tommy, more, how do you karate kick a bird? Please.
Well, to be fair, these birds aren't like, you know...
They're not like these birds.
They're, like, in the air for, like, 10 seconds, and they, like, kill people without even barely touching them.
Right.
And also, there's a hilarious scene that involves jellyfish.
Oh, I mean, anything.
It's, but you have to see it to believe. Have to see it to believe it. And, of course, it, like, and, of course, with movies like this, it keeps throwing down the whole environmental message in hilarious ways.
Alrighty, then.
Or you could just do what I'll do and just take your word for it.
Yeah. But
I'm gonna go by Garrett's example. I don't think I actually do want to watch this movie because I have more valuable things to do with my time.
I honestly have no idea how magical this movie is.
I have actual birds to karate kick in my life. I mean, I don't abuse animals. I'm not going to really...
And I will say, it only goes for 80 minutes, so it's like 20 minutes shorter than the first one.
Well, the first one was mostly just like, hey, let's drive around and do boring shit.
Yeah, but to be... Actually, what's funny, though, is like he does the exact same structure again, so the birds don't even attack till like 45 minutes into the movie.
I'm just going to fast forward 45 minutes into the movie.
But even then, like, the stuff beforehand compared to the first movie is actually more hilarious because... Well, you have to see it to know what I'm talking about, which I will force you to watch one day, Buster.
All right. Well, all right. Anyway, guys, let's get started with our subject. We are looking ahead at the films of this year, 2014. We have started this podcast a bit late because we've already had January, but January is usually a throwaway month for, like, the US releases, where they release crap like Paranormal Activity, The Marked Ones, and I, Frankenstein.
Legend of Hercules.
Yeah, I think the only really, like, decent watchable movie, at least that I saw that was a US release for January, was Jack Ryan's Shadow Recruit, because I had a good time with that movie. In Australia, we get movies late. I think we're actually getting, you know, Todd Browning's Dracula in a few months' time. We haven't seen that, you know. We're finally catching up to the talkies, so it should be good.
Exactly. I can't wait to hear this actor that everyone keeps talking about, Charlie Chaplin. I've heard great things about him.
Wow. All right.
Yeah.
Marcy, do you guys have Devil's Due yet out there?
No. I don't know. Like, I think it was supposed to be out in March, but I don't know if, since it flopped, I don't know if it's actually going to get a release now or not.
We basically just don't know, like, what's coming out or anything. Like, for us, January is, like, where we get all the Oscar-nominated movies come out. So, yeah, our timeline just doesn't add up.
So we're just ride-along fall in that category?
I don't know if
that movie's huge in the US, but movies like that usually go straight to DVD in Australia because there's not really that much of an audience for them.
It's just this week we've got RoboCop, Last Vegas, and Labor Day as some releases that I know.
And then you also had a month of complete flops, because you had B already mentioned Hercules, and then you had I, Frankenstein, which just hit with a thud.
Mm.
You know?
And that was filmed in Melbourne, where B
was it really?
And I live. Yes.
Wow.
I tried to stalk Aaron Eckhart so he could father one of my children, but that didn't really work out. So.
Yeah, restraining order really does put a dampener on things, doesn't it, Marcy?
Yeah.
Damn you, Aaron Eckhart.
Yeah, there's a restraining order. No. yeah, anyway.
Anyways, back to February.
Yeah, January is just, they know films aren't going to do well, so that's why they basically release them then. But we'll jump into February talking about basically bigger releases, things we're actually interested in seeing. I think the big one for this week for the US is the Lego Movie, which I don't think that's out here till April, and I just cannot wait to see it. I think it just looks so cute. It looks like such fun. I love Legos. I want the movie.
The more I see these trailers, the more I'm looking forward to it. It looks fun to me. It looks real fun.
We may actually agree on this one. I have a good feeling about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll just have to wait 2 months longer than you.
What about you, B? I heard you groan a little bit. What, are you not looking forward to it?
I didn't say I wasn't looking forward to the Lego.
No, I said B.
I'll be
hard. We're going to get confused with B and B.
Well, to tell you the truth, I think, you know, as long as it isn't as bad as the Smurfs, I think it might actually be a good time for everybody, for kids and for adults. You never know.
I think everything's better than the Smurfs.
Rotten Tomatoes page, it currently has a 99% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Holy moly.
Wow. And only one negative review.
And everyone's good friend Jimmy O gave it a really good review. Although it's very rare when he doesn't like something. So.
I know.
We love him.
That looks really good. The other one I'm looking forward to, in fact, I'm seeing it tonight, is Monuments Men. One looks interesting.
I was going to bring this up. It's had a lot of like really mixed reviews. But from the trailer, yeah. I mean, for me, it does look very cliched and typical, but it looks watchable. I like everyone involved. Uh-huh. So I'm definitely on board with seeing it. I'm not sure when it comes out here. It'll probably be maybe in the next few weeks because we've had a lot of trailers.
I think it is February or early March, yeah. I think.
Yeah. What about anyone else with this one?
Yeah, I'll see it. Like, I'm definitely surprised by the reviews. Again, it's like it's got 30% on Rotten Tomatoes. Not to say that I put too much stock in Rotten Tomatoes, but, you know, it's always gives
30%?
You a bit of an idea. Yeah.
30%? Wow. Wow, that's bad.
We'll see what you think of it, Garrett.
Yeah.
What about...
Absolutely.
What about B?
I wouldn't say no to seeing it if given the opportunity, but it's not on my immediate to-do list this year.
It's got, what's his name in it? Jean-Georges Jardin. I can't pronounce his name.
Jean Dujardin.
He's pretty attractive. I'll see it just for his good looks.
Well, it's got everybody who's had the what's his name moniker put to them at one time or another.
Yeah, let's move on to RoboCop. You've already seen it, Garrett. It just started here. What did you think of it?
Have you seen it yet, Marcy, or no?
I'm going in the next few days to go see it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to say, like I said on our podcast a couple weeks ago, it is not nearly as bad as people were fearing. Okay. It's missing the satire, which is good, because when you try to remake satire, when you try to sequelize satire, it comes off very bad. They took a different approach. You spend more time with Murphy before he becomes a cop. And you know what? It worked for me. For the most part, it worked. The action, really good. Really good. For a PG-13 movie, this thing is really good. You know, the mask almost killed it for me. I mean, the suit is pretty bad. I didn't really like the suit. I thought Kinnaman was fine. Samuel L. Jackson's about as over the top as I've seen him in a while.
That's why I'm looking forward to the movie.
Michael Keaton is really good. You know.
Oh yeah.
It's not bad. It's not nearly as bad as people were saying, but it's not great. So I, out of 10, I'd probably give it a 6.
Okay.
So that's.
So in saying that, it's not something you can truly compare to the first one because neither of them are alike in any way. But as a straightforward action film, you would recommend it?
Yes. Yes. Okay. And let me also clear up that they tried remaking Total Recall a couple years ago, and Les Wiseman tried getting too cute and tried interjecting a whole bunch of references to the
that movie
you know, to the old Total Recall, and it didn't come off very well at all.
It's
go ahead.
It's on my shit list. I hated the Total Recall remake.
Yeah, I didn't hate it. But I didn't really like it either.
I think the best part of that movie was Kate Beckinsale.
I actually thought it was Jessica Biel, but.
I thought the best part of that movie was when it ended.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, Mars credits. I will say Padilla doesn't take that approach with RoboCop.
Okay.
He takes a different approach. You can't out Verhoeven. You just can't do it.
Yeah.
So, Marcy, as far as you, I'm going to be curious to see what you think of it. Because
okay.
I didn't hate it. I didn't really like it, but I'm not a huge RoboCop fan. I wasn't too invested in the first one.
Okay.
We just did a review of the first one on the site. I thought it was pretty good. I didn't think it was great though. So, you know, I just don't have too much invested in it. So people who love the original are going to probably walk in with their arms folded and this movie has a lot to prove to them. But to me, it was fine. It passed the time.
I'm just going to go in it as I try to do with every movie and just be very neutral and not have expectations either way.
Gotcha.
Let's see, what else is coming out this month? I just want to bring up Pompeii, only for the reason that Kit Harington is in it and he's got lots of muscles and he's really attractive. And if I were to see that, that'd be the only reason why. That's all I wanted to say about that.
I want to say that, maybe, to be honest. Because I'm a huge disaster film fan, Marcy, so this movie's right up my alley.
Yeah, I'm not a disaster movie person, but muscles, yeah, that makes.
Well, the fact it does have Paul W.S. Anderson directing really does mean it will be a disaster film.
Bede, you proved about 20 minutes ago that you like disastrous films.
There's no coming back from that one, Bede.
I just want to see the movie, and I don't mind Paul W.S. Anderson, but so, you know, enjoy his movies for what they are.
All right.
But I am looking forward to 3 Days to Kill, because I saw the trailer a while ago, and it looks like it'll be, like, silly fun.
Yeah, that was the next one I was going to bring up. I think that looks like it'll be a good time, nothing groundbreaking, but I think it'll be worth an afternoon watch in the cinema.
You know, they played that trailer during the Super Bowl like many times, and they played the I've seen the preview many times. I saw it at RoboCop the other day for like the fifth time in a month. You know, it's crazy. They've been hyping this thing up, and I didn't really know. Marcy divulged to me before we went on the air, this thing is directed by Mick G. It's written by Luc Besson. And it's got Kevin Costner. I think it has potential. I think it has potential to be a fun ride. Now, will he be Liam Neeson? No. And I hope they don't try to make him into, like, this killer badass. But I'm looking at the thing. I think it looks like a fun time.
And speaking of, not to interject, but speaking of Liam Neeson, he does have a movie out in February as well, Nonstop.
I was trying to think, like, which one that was. I mean, that one really doesn't excite me. And I do like, you know, Julianne Moore and...
Well, I'm kind of trying to avoid the trailers for this one because I have a feeling the trailer kind of gives away what act.
Yeah, I haven't really seen the trailer or anything. I don't know. For an afternoon movie, yeah, maybe.
Well, it returns with the director of Unknown, so, you know, I thought that was a fun movie, so I kind of expect more of the same with this one, too.
Considering, too, it's surprising that in recent years Liam Neeson has made a renaissance of playing mature-aged hard asses. You know, if anything else, it will be a fun movie.
I mean, I'm looking at the poster right now, and it's like him holding a gun. It's like the same poster he's had in every
movie. Yeah, basically. It was like basically like, this is what you're going to get. Don't expect anything else.
Hey,
pretty much.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I enjoy Neeson. you know, I wasn't a big fan of Taken, the first one, let alone the second one. But, you know, I think the guy is a very likable presence. Mm-hmm. Julianne Moore I like. She was one of the only things I liked about Carrie, which we won't discuss. I like Julianne Moore. I think this thing has just, it's a lot like 3 Days to Kill. It'll pass the time, but it's not going to set your world on fire.
Yeah. We'll move on to March, and I'll let Bede take the reins, but I am just going to talk about one movie. It's like one of my most anticipated sequels ever, and that is The Raid 2. It comes out in March here as well. I am going to see it a billion times. I know I'm going to love it. I know I shouldn't have the expectation, but I do. It's bringing back Gareth Evans with the same star, and I freaking can't wait. I love The Raid. I would make love to that movie, and I'm sure I want to make love to The Raid 2. And to those people who have seen it, I fucking hate you, and I will hate you until the day I see it.
Marcy, if you make love to The Raid 2, will that produce The Raid 3?
Yes, it will.
So that'll make it even more awesome and more Aussie.
Yes. yes. But anyway, I'll let you talk about March, which has a few more, more interesting titles than February.
I don't want to get kicked off this podcast, so I am not going to say my hate. Go ahead.
Won't that be like 95% of the movies on this list, Garrett? Oh, snap.
Oh, man.
Ouch.
All right. I'll just go down through the list. I'll just pick the main ones. The first one, of course, is another sequel. Is 300 Rise of an Empire, which, of course, I'm not exactly sure if this is a sequel or a prequel or a paraquel or whatever the hell they're calling it these days.
I have no interest. I don't care. That's my stance on it.
I'm with you, Marcy.
I want to see it. Like, I think it looks like I love the first 300. I don't expect it to be this one to be as good, but it looks fun to me, and I like the cast because you got Sutherland Stapleton, who's an Aussie actor I'm a big fan of, and it also has Eva Green in the female villain role.
Really?
So that alone is I would definitely want to watch.
All right.
So if you're hoping it's as good as the first one, you think that's a compliment?
Yeah, I think the first one is pretty awesome. But yeah.
Okay,
go ahead. We've established Bede is terrible.
Nothing wrong with...
Quick, we got all of March to get through, let's go.
Anyways, next up is Wes Anderson's new film, The Grand Budapest Hotel, which is like got everybody and their mother and kitchen sink in the cast.
I've avoided trailers and stuff. I would love to just go and see it without seeing anything about it, and just knowing the cast, so yeah, that's all I have to say.
Yeah. Garrett.
Oh, I'm a big Wes Anderson fan. I loved Rise Kingdom. This one doesn't really have me as excited. I will see it. I'm looking forward to it, but you know, Wes Anderson, he has a lot of more of the same feel to him. But I will definitely go, and I will, you know, I'll definitely look forward to seeing Bill Murray and, you know, see the hijinks that go on in it.
Cool.
Yeah, I'm definitely down for this one too. Like, it has such a charming, eclectic cast, and Wes Anderson just has that knack for putting humor into sequences of tragedy or misunderstanding. I'd be very, very happy to see this one, especially with F. Murray Abraham in it, because it's been such a long time since he was in a really good movie.
He's been in a lot. I actually saw him in a few movies in the cinema last year, like Dead Man Down and Inside Llewyn Davis. So he's making a bit of a comeback, F. Murray Abraham.
I'm glad.
But I'm looking forward to the movie. I saw the trailer a few weeks ago, and it actually did pique my interest. Like, I'm not the biggest Anderson fan. I enjoy his films, but none of them have really blown me away, except for Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is, wait for it, awesome. But this one definitely has my interest, and I look forward to checking it out. Next up, of course, is Need for Speed.
It's got Aaron Paul and Fast Cars. That's reason enough for me to go see it.
And Michael Keaton, don't forget.
Yeah, anything with Michael Keaton, I will see, because that dude's just always been awesome. But yeah, that's one that, yeah, I'm happy to go sit and watch. I also just want to bring up quickly Mr. Peabody and Sherman. I thought that looked fun.
Yeah.
For you know, an animation movie that's by DreamWorks, whatever, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, that might be something I'll go see. I just wanted to
bring I'll go see that too. I didn't bring it up because, you know, we got so many movies.
I know. Let's chop chop. Need for Speed.
Next up, we'll let Marcy have a bit of a chat about this one, Veronica Mars the movie.
Yes, I love everyone that just made this happen. Finally, I've been waiting so long for a continuation of Veronica Mars. It's one of my favourite shows ever. And I just really hope this movie does justice to the series. It's got so many of the people coming back. I just can't wait. I don't even know what to say. I'm just so excited. I want this movie right now. Done.
Cool.
It's a pretty remarkable story, isn't it? The way that thing got all the funding and it ended up just going right into
production. going on Kickstarter. It made the money. They proved to Warner Brothers, yeah, the fans fucking want this to happen, you dickheads. And there we go.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, cool. Moving on.
That's the quick version of it.
It's Bad Words, which I haven't seen the trailers for, because I've sort of, when it comes to comedy trailers, I try to avoid them these days. Because usually, most of the time, they're never really good or whatever. But
they reveal everything in them.
Yeah, that too. But from what I hear, Bad Words is actually really, really funny, and it's the directorial debut of Jason Bateman.
Yeah, that's pretty much like why I would want to see it, because I do like him. I haven't really seen the trailer, so I don't know really what it's about. But if he's attached, you know, I'm down. Basically,
trailer looks pretty good. Actually, trailer looks really good. I'm interested to see that one.
Hmm.
Talk me down for that, because I love Allison Janney. She's just like one of the most funniest women alive. She can basically elevate any sort of like otherwise non-funny movie into something funny just with her in there. So even if the rest of the flick is shit, I'm just going to be in love with her the entire time.
Mm.
Cool. What are our thoughts on the film Divergent? Marcy?
I don't even know what Divergent is.
It's another one of those young adult books and another sort of dystopian one, but it sort of takes a different approach than, say, trying too much not to rip off The Hunger Games. But it has a pretty solid cast they assembled. And
yeah, I can see that. I don't know anything about it at this point. Yeah, no interest, really.
I saw Shailene Woodley on Jimmy Kimmel last night. They actually, a few nights ago, they premiered the trailer to it. I'll admit it right now, I'm a diehard fan of Shailene Woodley. I think she's a very good actress. If anything's going to make me want to see it, it'll be her. But it's, like you said, Beat, it's got a real young adult feel to it. But I think I might give it a shot. I think I might give it a shot. If they ask me to go, I say, yeah, I'll go ahead. Why not?
Well, they're already.
It has to be better than Twilight. Let's just put it that way.
Oh, yeah. I think Birdemic is better than Twilight, but yeah, it's a whole different story.
One more thing about this movie, though. I'm looking at the poster right now, and it looks like every single dystopian poster you've seen.
I think I saw that.
Yeah.
It just had no, I didn't even remember it when I saw it.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. Next up is, interesting enough, a documentary, which is how do you pronounce this guy's last name?
Jodorowsky. I don't know.
Jodorowsky.
I love his work. I can't fucking pronounce his name.
I have never seen a single one of his movies, but I saw the trailer to this one, and it does. It has my interest, which.
I think this has the possibility to be something really, really interesting. I think he's a really fascinating filmmaker and just another story of something that didn't end up happening. I'm so down for this one.
Cool.
I haven't seen anything on this thing yet.
You have to look it up and see the trailer.
Okay.
And we'll move on to the next big movie, Muppets Most Wanted, which, of course, is the sequel to The Muppets. And, Marcy, are you excited for the latest adventure of The Muppets?
Yeah, I liked The Muppets, and I'm down for the sequel. It looks really funny. It looks typical Muppets, so, yeah, I'll go see it and have a good laugh.
And it has Tom Hiddleston in making a cameo, so
I know. There's
your buddy right there.
That's it.
Garrett.
I grew up loving The Muppets. I watched it with my father every week, show all the time. The movies in the 90s got pretty bad. I loved the last Muppet movie that came out. I am really looking forward to this film. Is Siegel back writing it or no?
No,
but it's directed by the same person and written by his co-writer, so...
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm all...
Yep, give me the Muppets, just like Garrett. That was something I grew up watching. I just love Miss Piggy and Gonzo. Oh, and the Swedish Chef.
So funny.
So, but anyways. yeah, I'm excited for the Muppets as well. Like, I grew up on the Muppets, so I'm definitely looking forward to this one. And our next movie is Darren Aronofsky's new film, Noah. Marcy, what do you think?
Look, I've loved everything that I've seen of Aronofsky. This, I don't know. I really don't know what to think of it. I think it has the potential to be a really, like, special movie. But I just think it's something I will need to see. Like, the trailer just doesn't really do much for me. And it's just something I think I just would need to watch. So I will go see it. But yeah, I just so don't know what to think of it at the moment.
I don't think we can ask Gary because I know what he's going to say. But yeah, Gary.
I want to be as nice as I can, all right? I feel Aronofsky is one of the most overrated directors out there. I'm just going to come out and say it. This is a guy who has been attached to every single franchise out there.
Yeah.
For some reason, he finds reasons to leave. And this is the movie he decides to do. I thought Black Swan was very overrated. I did not like that movie at all. The trailer, it looks interesting. I'll say that. It looks very interesting. But it just didn't grab me. It didn't grab me at all. I am curious to see how he handles a huge budget like that. I am curious about that. That's what I'll say.
B?
Yeah, I'm... Okay, here's the thing. I love watching biblical epics because when you think about it, the Bible is the ultimate fairy tale book. Ooh, ah, I just said something very controversial there, didn't I? But you need to... It's not every day you get yourself a really good biblical epic. And whether or not you think Aronofsky is overrated, that's completely subjective, I still think that he has the clout to bring something like the story of Noah on the screen and, even get some awards generating for it. I think it could possibly work.
I like a good old
biblical epic. So I grew up on watching those as well, among other things. But it definitely has the potential to go either way. Like, it could be a great film or it could be a mess. Because I know this was a passion project of his. He's been wanting to do for since he was a kid, from what I read. So it could go either way, but I hear that the more interesting aspects of the film haven't been shown in the trailers, so I think that's sort of gives a bit of an indication there. So, I'm looking forward to the film. I love Aronofsky, so I'm definitely down for this. And our next film, the last one for this month, is Arnold Schwarzenegger's latest action film, Sabotage.
I just have one thing to say. I'm fucking there because it's Schwarzenegger. Boom. That's it.
Oh, opens on Friday, closes on Monday.
Oh,
that's my prediction. Oh. No. Let me say, I actually, this looks like a really fun ride. Mm. I think the trailer to this, I watched it literally right before we went on the air, and because I knew we were going to talk about it, and I wanted to give this thing a chance. It looks fun. It looks fun. Mm. It looks like the most fun I'll have in a Schwarzenegger film since he's been back.
Yeah, no. It's just one of those things that I could go either way on. I'm not that particularly sort of hyped up to see Arnie's big return to the big screen. But, you know, it could be a good time. That's all I'll say.
I'm down for this movie. And I also like the director's previous film, End of Watch, so I'm definitely looking forward to see what he brings to a straight-up action movie. And I think he's assembled a really interesting cast for it as well. So, I'm looking forward to this one. Now, right. Marcy, will you like to take over April?
All right, April, we have Captain America, the Winter Soldier. And
America!
Fuck yeah! The trailers look freaking awesome. And if the movie is like half as exciting as the trailers, this is going to be awesome. I just think they've really just captured this character with, you know, in the first one in the Avengers. I'm really excited. I just think the cast really works. I'm so excited to see Anthony Mackie in this because I love him and I just, you know, I want him to be in really good things. I don't want him to be in Pain and Gain. Right?
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a really good time. I think we might be getting this a week earlier than America.
We might, but I think it's around the same time.
No, I think we get it late March.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because we tend to get Marvel movies a week early.
I love the trailers to this film. I'm with you, Marcy. Anthony Mackie. I've liked Anthony Mackie since I saw The Adjustment Barrel. I thought he was really good in that. This thing, I love how Chris Evans has embodied this role. I mean, when he was announced as Captain America, I was really sketchy. But he's really taken that role. I mean, you know, even like in Thor: The Dark World, I mean, spoiler alert, but, you know, he has a little tiny part in that, which was probably the best part of the film. I'm looking forward to this film a lot, actually. I can't wait to see it.
B?
Yeah, no, I love the first movie because, truth be told, I'm not a big fan of Captain America, but as what you were saying, Garrett, Chris Evans completely embodies the character. He isn't just like winking at the audience. You know, he's just so earnest as Steve Rogers. And the first movie did such a great job with the character. And I really, really hope that the sequel does the very same thing and expands on it.
Who's directing this one?
Anthony and Joe Russo.
Okay.
I'm excited for this would be if I had to do my top five most anticipated films, this would definitely be in the top five. I absolutely love the first one. It's my top three of the Marvel Cinematic films. And I was a bit worried at first about the directors because their films they've only made mainly comedies and directed episodes for comedy shows and all that. But based on just the trailers and all that, it looks like they've really impressed me and I'm really excited to see it. And I'm also looking forward to see how Robert Redford does in a Marvel movie.
Yeah,
that's another thing. Like, cool. Robert Redford's in this movie? It's like, wow, what's he going to do?
He's going to be awesome.
Well, it's going to be a lot better than what Tommy Lee Jones did in the last one, which was pretty much just be Tommy Lee Jones.
Which is what he pretty much does anyway.
That's true.
You know, Tommy Lee, I mean, that was the one part of the last Captain America I just didn't like. I didn't like Tommy Lee Jones in that. But yeah, Robert Redford, it's a very curious casting. It's a very curious accepting of a role by him. You know, what's he, I agree with you, B. How is he going to personify this role?
This is like the biggest film he's ever been a part of. And like, he's never really been in big blockbuster movies. So this is like even more interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, you contrast this with the movie he did last year, which was what? Him just sitting by the sea for 2 hours. You know, it's like night and day. You know, I can't remember the name of that film, but yeah, it's a curious film for me, and I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. Cool. This month, just there's a lot of movies that I just don't know anything about, don't terribly look that interesting. I don't know, you've got a football movie, I'm assuming, Draft Day by Ivan Reitman.
The trailer looks pretty good. I'm actually interested to see that one.
I know nothing about it. You know, that sort of football is not a thing here. But I do enjoy, you know, movies based around it, you know, if they've got the right script and it's entertaining. So I don't really know. I'll probably end up seeing it at some point.
I think it's like, a sort of thing that Captain America will definitely be April's big opening. Pretty much.
It looks like Jerry Maguire. Mm. I mean, if you watch the trailer, I mean, it looks like it's got a lot of that same aesthetic. But you know, Kevin Costner in sports movies—that's usually a pretty good combination. So, I'm looking forward to it.
Mm. And it's his third movie in the first 4 months of the year.
I know the guy is just taking over the screen this year. All of a sudden,
he's definitely been putting out a lot of good stuff. So, one of the other more interesting sounding movies for the month is Transcendence, directed by Wally Pfister with Johnny Depp, Paul Bettany, Rebecca Hall, Kate Mara, Morgan Freeman, and Cole Hauser. And I saw the trailer for this, and I was just like, whoa. It seems to, like, have a lot of ambition, interesting ideas. I'm curious to see if it actually be able to pull everything off. I am interested to see it. I do like my sci-fi. And some of the things that it's tackling, I think, will be really interesting. We'll see if it delivers or not, basically.
Do you guys remember that movie from the early 90s? It was called Ghost in the Machine.
Yes, I do. Yes.
That's what this reminds me of when I look at this trailer.
I keep thinking of The Lawnmower Man as well.
Yeah. Like that's the... Yeah. Yeah. You know, it could go either way. It could go either way. With the aesthetic they've established, you know, with the Nolan, you know, because this guy was a cinematographer for Nolan for what his entire career, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Pretty much. I'm really, really, really curious to see how he directs this thing without Nolan at his side. Is Nolan producing this at all?
I think he's an executive producer, I think.
Okay. And the other thing that I really like about it is Johnny Depp is, it looks like he's actually reaching out and doing something different.
Yeah.
He's not in makeup. I mean, he is inside a freaking computer screen, but he's not like roaming around in Burton makeup. I think this could be the best performance we have from Depp in years, if you want my opinion. But I'm a little meh on it. I'm a little on the fence about it.
Mm. Anyone else have anything to comment about this one?
Look, it looks pretty cool. I'm definitely interested to see it. From the trailer, it definitely looks like it, at some point it's going to go batshit insane. So I'm definitely interested to see how that all happens. So yeah, I'm looking forward to Transcendence.
Look, to be honest, nothing else in April is sticking out at me as anything I really care to talk about. So I don't know if we're happy to move on to May, because we don't want to be here all day either.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we can move on.
All right, so May. B, that's you.
Oh, yeah, that's my turn. First up, of course.
Uh-oh, I'm looking. Go ahead.
This is, The Amazing Spider-Man 2, but before I say anything about it, Marcy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm just hoping it's not going to be, like, overblown with so many characters. There's lots of potential villains. The enemies trailer made it look really, really good. So, yeah, I'm down. I love the first one, and this one's got Dane DeHaan, who I love. So that's good enough for me.
He looks like Emo Peter in that trailer, by the way. He looks like Emo Peter from the third Spider-Man film.
Nothing could be that bad. I'm just putting that out there.
You know, it looks way better than the film they did. So, in that way, I'm looking forward to it. Here's the thing about the first movie. If you're going to have him create his webbing, in every single comic he had the webbing like that. I hate comparing to comics, but I have to in this case because they really dropped the ball on this. He always run out of the webbing. In that last film, I just watched the last film the other day, and he's shooting webbing at the lizard in the school. He shot at least 100 cartridges of webbing at him, and he never ran out. Have him run out of the damn webbing, and then you will have an improved film. I think Jamie Foxx looks really interesting as Electro. The effects kind of reminded me of like a Sony 3, computer graphics a little bit, you know, like Sony 3, they had a game called Infamous that kind of reminded me of. But I'm curious to see what they do with Rhino. And it even looked like they had a little bit of Doc Ock's arms, if you look at the trailer real close. So we'll see. We'll see.
Mm-hmm. Hey.
Yeah, I'll give this one a go. Like, I enjoyed the first one well enough. I have a confession. I haven't read a lot of Spider-Man comics, and to be perfectly honest, my favorite Spider-Man villain is Venom and Carnage, like the symbiotes. So I don't know anything about Electro. I don't know anything about the Rhino. But look, it's got Jamie Foxx and it's got Paul Giamatti playing the bad guys. I think it would have to be a pretty, pretty bad movie for me not to enjoy their characters. So I'll definitely give it a go.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this movie because I hated the first one so with a passion. So this one, I think it could go – like, could it be – will it be an improvement? Possibly, but could it be possibly even more of a mess? Yes. So,
yes.
It has a possibility of going either way.
Yeah, like the first movie really just destroyed me because of how much I hated it. So, yeah. And that sucks for me as somebody who's a huge fan of Spider-Man. So, yeah. Anyway, sorry, Marcy.
I said, alrighty, let's move on, because
yep, moving on.
Some big ones this month.
A little movie we won't spend too much on, Chef, which is the new Jon Favreau film.
I know absolutely nothing about it, so I have nothing to comment on it.
But it's got a pretty good cast, Favreau, Scarlett Johansson, Dustin Hoffman, Robert Downey Jr., and tons of other people, so there's no trailers or anything for this one yet, but I'm definitely interested just to see that. And next up, of course, is the comedy Neighbours, which has Seth Rogen, Zac Efron, and Rose Byrne, which are... Marcy, have you seen the trailer for this one?
I have. It doesn't look too bad. I'll see it for the Zac Efron factor. And that's basically all I have to say about that.
Yep.
I'll see it for the Rose Byrne factor. I'll see it for the Rose Byrne factor. Go.
High five.
Yeah.
B. Whose factor are you going to see this for?
A lady never tells.
I think she's down for the Christopher Mintz Plasse.
Because I need some Franco in my life. But yeah, it looks like... I haven't seen too many of the trailers. Again, I try to avoid comedy trailers. But from what I've seen, it looks pretty funny. Moving up, of course... is one of my most anticipated films of the year, is Godzilla. Marcy.
Yes! Excuse me, sorry.
Billy, not as much as B, but anyway.
All right, since B just had an orgasm and no one's going to outdo that one.
You open all three.
Yeah, let me see. Godzilla, giant monster movie. I think this one just already looks a lot better than the garbage that came out from Roland Emmerich. It's got a really good cast. I think it has potential to be a really fun and interesting movie. I'm definitely down to give this one a go. Orgasm or not, I don't know. I don't know if it'll give me one. Awkward.
All right. Anyways, Garrett.
That trailer was one of the best trailers I've seen in the last couple of years. It started off kind of crappy, but the way it ended was insanely good. I find it interesting. We had a Whitney Able. We interviewed Whitney Able a few months ago, and she divulged that the director of her film Monsters is the one that's actually doing this Godzilla film. I had no idea. I liked Monsters a lot. I like the independent film feel to it, combined with a big budget. And it looks like they're really going for something that doesn't feel like Cloverfield, that doesn't feel like anything that's come out before. I'm really excited for it. Really excited for it.
And look at the cast, man. You've got yourself so many great actors in there. You have Bryan Cranston, Elizabeth Olsen, Sally Hawkins, David Strathairn. I mean, how long has it been since we've seen him in a really good sort of big-budget action movie? We don't see him in those sorts of films. It has to be something special that he attaches himself to it.
Yeah.
Mm.
Cool. Now, B, how excited are you for this movie?
Oh, do you want me to orgasm again or something? Is that what you want, B?
Oh, well, probably not. In words, I should say, rather than race.
Okay. Well, I definitely agree with the assessment. As long as it's better than the 1998 atrocity, I think it will do quite well for itself. It's just like what Gaz said also, it doesn't look like it's trying to be Cloverfield, so if it's trying to be genuine in what it's doing, I think it will work. Simple as that.
Cool.
All right.
Well, can't wait to see this movie. It's funny, every time I see this trailer with an audience, the audience is always silent after.
Yes. Yes.
And it definitely, hopefully it'll be pretty freaking awesome. And it looks like they're going back to the sort of the darker kind of tone of the original first one.
Yes. Yes.
And although I'm kind of worried, why did they have to recast Jean Reno's role with Juliette Binoche? I don't know, but because they're both French and they're both in Godzilla movies.
Alrighty. Yeah,
okay, that joke went completely.
It went nowhere.
On its face.
Out of its face. It works better in written form than in talking form. Anyways, next up, of course, just a little movie, and I have to mention this because this has Marcy and B's favorite man, and that's Million Dollar Arm, which has John Hamm. Hamm, sorry.
Who's Hamm? John Hamm? Jesus.
John
Hamm. Sorry.
John Hamm. Yeah, I saw the trailer. It just looks like a fluff piece. I'm just like, nah, I don't care.
Same.
All right,
I'll see it, because I like the director, Craig Gillespie, who did Lars and the Real Girl, and it's written by Tom McCarthy, who wrote and directed The Visitor and The Station Agent. So I definitely, it will be fluffy, yeah, but, you know, I expect it would just be a solid, you know, fun Disney sports movie. So.
You can't ask much more than that.
Yeah.
Let's go over what else Gillespie's directed, the Fright Night remake. this movie, you're right, Marcy, it looks like fluff, but, you know, 42 looked like fluff last year, and I didn't like that at all. I think I want to like this, because A, I like John Hamm as well. I think he's a very good actor, and, you know, I like a good, I'm a sucker for a good feel-good piece. Bring it on. I'll be there.
Cool.
All
right.
You know, I also notice that it has Lake Bell in it, because she's really proven herself to be, like, one of the underdogs in terms of being a female creative agent. So she once started out as like that token chick with the really nice tits, but she's actually really revealed herself to be a very sort of creative and intelligent filmmaker. So yeah, I'd be happy to see her in the movie.
Cool. Now for the next major one is X-Men Days of Future Past.
Yes!
And Marcy, are you excited to see this movie?
Not as much as B, obviously. look,
I'm surprised at you, Marcy.
Look, this is
who's in it.
I know. I mean, I love who's in it, obviously, but in terms of like story and all that, it's either going to be a disaster or it's going to be brilliant. I don't think there's going to be any middle ground. That said, yes, I am excited to see sexy Hugh Jackman, sexy Michael Fassbender, sexy James McAvoy, sexy Patrick Stewart. I mean, poof. Sexy Peter Dinklage. Oh, my God.
Exactly.
Yeah. There's a lot of, it's a great cast. The original story is really, really good. I'm so skeptical as to whether it's going to work or not. So we'll see.
I'm just trying to get over two orgasms in one podcast. That's pretty amazing. I am excited. I know I'm probably in the minority. I'm excited about the prospect of Bryan Singer returning. If it's going to be done, if it's going to fail or work, it's going to be in his hands to do either. And that kind of excites me. All the good movies, you know, they're made out of risk. And this thing is a very risky thing. I mean, he is combining every single generation of X-Men movies that have come out since, you know, in 13, 14 years into one film. I'm
very ambitious.
Yeah. It's a very, very bold undertaking. I think he's up to it. Everyone's saying, oh, it's about the Sentinel. It's about the Sentinel. No. It's not about the Sentinels. It's about making a good movie. If it includes the Sentinels and it's a good movie, then I'm for it. If it includes the Sentinels and it's a bad movie, then you have Spider-Man 3 all over again with Venom. I love the trailers to this thing. I'm actually really looking forward to it.
Hmm.
Hey.
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to this movie because X-Men First Class was quite well done. It was done by a different director, of course, but he did it in such a way that it sort of brought back what the original series had been and made it a lot more invested in the reality. And after the Wolverine, you know, I think, you know, finally the X-Men movies are back on the level again. So hopefully Days of Future Past will continue that strain. Here's hoping.
Cool. I'm looking forward to the film as well. I'm a huge X-Men fan. Like Marcy, it could go either way. It could be either amazing or a complete disaster. And I think, to be honest, like if Matthew Vaughn was still directing it, I would have been, oh, fuck yeah. But with Bryan Singer, I'm like a bit, since, you know, he hasn't really made a film, great film in 11 years. So hopefully that'll all change. And next one, I'm going to bunch these next two together because, you know, we need to keep moving on. we got... Melissa Fent? Is that
Maleficent?
Jesus
Maleficent.
I've barely seen Sleeping Beauty, so I don't know how to pronounce the name. And also A Million Ways to Die in the West. Marcy, right, these
so,
two movies.
Look, I know nothing about A Million Ways to Die in the West. I don't care. I can't get excited about something I don't know about, so that's out of the way.
It's the Seth MacFarlane movie.
Yeah, Marcy. Still, I just don't care. Maleficent. I love Sleeping Beauty. I think this could be a really interesting movie. The trailers haven't entirely sold me. I think it's got a really good cast, and I think they're pretty well suited. We're just gonna have to see how it works out. I will be there to see it. I'm just not really sure what to expect or how I will feel about it. Done.
Garrett.
Is it just me, or does it seem like this movie has been getting made for 6-7 years? It literally feels like 7 years ago that I heard that Angelina Jolie was going to be Maleficent.
I know, right?
You know, it's the first trailer really grabbed me, and Marcy, as the last couple have come around, the Super Bowl commercial and the second trailer, it's gotten me off the tree a little bit. I'm not really on board with this as much as I was. That being said, I'm a huge fan of Jolie, and I'm a huge fan of the Fanning sisters. It looks curious to me. It looks like it's going for a Snow White and the Huntsman aesthetic, and I'm there for that. Let's go. So, and A Million Ways to Die. That explains the way I feel about Seth MacFarlane. I never ever finished Ted. I will never finish that movie. I think I just don't find the guy funny. I didn't laugh once at that trailer, and it's about as annoying as Melissa McCarthy. So,
big.
Yeah, I think the most attractive part about Maleficent is the fact that one of the screenwriters, Paul Dini, who also wrote the Batman Arkham Origins, Batman Arkham Asylum and Batman Arkham City. He wrote those stories. Paul Dini, and I'm very fascinated about what he has to bring to the Disney franchise because Maleficent is a Disney character. So I wonder how a DC writer is going to integrate his sensibilities into a Disney sort of world.
Cool. I'm looking forward to both. Like I saw the trailer to Melissa. Sorry, I have no idea about her name. Anyways. It looks like it could be good. Like I've only seen Sleeping Beauty when I was young, so I don't have too much. I can't remember too much about it, other than of course this character. I enjoy. It looks like it could be good. Also, Million Ways to Die in the West. I look forward to it because I wrote and directed and starred in this movie. So. That's why I'm looking forward to it.
That's right. She looks exactly like Seth MacFarlane.
Exactly.
All right. Let's get to June because we really don't have much time left and we're only in June. I know nothing about Edge of Tomorrow. I know it's by Doug Liman with Tom Cruise and Emily Blunt. I'll probably see it just because of the Cruise factor. I do like Tom Cruise. I liked my sci-fi stuff. The Fault in Our Stars, I haven't read the book. I didn't feel anything in the trailer. It just feels like I've seen this movie a billion times before. 22 Jump Street, I love 21 Jump Street. This one looks, you know, really funny. I'll definitely go see it. What else is up this month? How to Train Your Dragon 2. I haven't seen the first one, so there you go. Apparently Clint Eastwood is doing Jersey Boys. That could be interesting. There's another Purge movie. Didn't see the first
one.
Oh my God. Don't care. And Transformers Age of Extinction, to be honest. I really don't care, but this could be just really dumb, stupid fun. So there we go. That's June for me. Does anyone have anything to add about those movies? Garrett.
Can I say one thing about Transformers?
Yes.
Am I the only one who is dreading a scene with the Michael Bay humor where Mark Wahlberg is running in a desert and a Dinobot is like killed by an Autobot and it falls down, or killed by a Decepticon and falls down, and then Mark Wahlberg turns around and goes, "Did you feel those good vibrations?" Like I am literally scared to death. I am literally scared to death of something he's going to do with this film. You know, but every single one of these trailers grabs me. I don't know what it is. I will see it. I'm curious about that one. The Tom Cruise, Emily Blunt one, it looks like Emily Blunt went Linda Hamilton in that film. She looks just ripped to hell in that trailer I saw. That movie actually looks pretty good to me. 21 Jump Street was funny. Can they follow 22 Jump Street? Can they follow it with another really funny film? It's hard to make a sequel to a comedy, so that's going to be a big challenge. Purge 2, why the hell was it even made? and that's it. That's all I got.
B?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Garrett in saying the Purge Anarchy. The first one had such a great concept, but it rapidly devolved into something completely stupid. 22 Jump Street, I hope it does succeed in being the comedy sequel that we're hoping for. Transformers, okay, Michael Bay, suck my dick. and How to Train Your Dragon 2, because I really did enjoy the first one. And it's good to see that Gerard Butler and the regular cast are back into the movie. So I'm looking forward to that. So that's my thoughts.
Be quick, tomorrow. Please.
Sorry?
I said be quick, Bede.
I'm trying, but you keep holding me up. Edge of Tomorrow, I'll definitely say it looks like it could be a really good sci-fi one. The Fault in Our Stars, I didn't mind the trailer, but I hear the book is actually pretty fantastic, so I'll check that out. 22 Jump Street, hopefully it'll be just as hilarious as the first one. How to Train Your Dragon 2, I enjoyed the first one, so I look forward to this one. Jersey Boys is Clint Eastwood, so I'll be there. If Purge Anarchy is just as hilariously stupid as the first one, I will watch it. Transformers Age of Extinction, Michael Bay's my spirit animal, so I have to watch it. So. And I like my giant robots beating the shit out of giant other giant robots. So, you know, I'm a simple man. I enjoy those things. But anyway.
All right. Let's, July. Let's get to July.
July.
Mention the big ones, because right, this month doesn't look that interesting aside from, like, two movies.
We got Deliver Us From Evil, which is the new film from the director of Sinister. Looks like it has a pretty interesting concept, and it has Eric Banner.
It's got Eric Banner, Edgar Ramirez. That's good enough for me to go watch.
Yes, Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, which is the sequel to Rise of the Planet of the Apes. Had a pretty cool cast put together, and the first one was awesome, so I look forward to that.
I'm so down. This one has Jason Clarke, so fucking definitely in. And Gary Oldman, bitches.
Jupiter Ascending, the new film from the Wachowskis. Channing Tatum and Mila Kunis are in it. The trailer looks pretty solid, like a solid sci-fi movie, so I look forward to that.
Didn't see the trailer, got no idea. It's got Channing Tatum, so my mum will drag me to see it.
Yeah. Hercules, the Trakarian Wars. It's Dwayne The Rock Johnson as Hercules, so I'll definitely check that out.
It's by Brett Ratner, so no thank you.
Yeah, but, you know, it's going to be awesome because of Dwayne Johnson, man. But anyways, And also the rest I'm not sure about, except for maybe Step Up All In, which I will get around to watching too eventually.
And I don't care. Now, I've already stated my pieces with Bede, but yeah, I'm really excited for Dawn of the Planet of the Apes. Loved the other one, and yeah, I just more of awesome shit and apes taking over like they should because humans are shithouse. All right, done. Garrett.
All right. I'm sorry, Marcy. I did not flow with that first Rise of the Planet of the Apes at all. So I'm not gonna.
Fair enough.
Really, I'm not really looking forward to that one. Hercules. One can only hope it's better than Rennie Harlan's. The one movie I'm looking forward to most of the year is this month, and that is Jupiter Ascending, because I am all about the Wachowskis. That trailer, I really, really, really dug that trailer. And Mila Kunis and Channing Tatum, it looks like a really, you know, just like any Wachowski, it looks like a real mindfuck. So I'm there.
All right. B.
Okay, well, I definitely really did enjoy Sinister, as well as The Exorcism by Emily Rose. So Deliver Us From Evil could be a good time. Eric Bana, Edgar Ramirez, you know, could do a lot worse. Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, I enjoyed the first one. I thought it was surprisingly well done. I wasn't expecting big things, but there you go. Jupiter Ascending, you know what? As long as it's better than the last two Matrix sequels, I'm going to be down for it. Hercules, well, Dwayne Johnson as Hercules, well, you could do a lot worse than him.
That's true.
So, yeah. And it's even got Ian McShane in it, so I don't know what he's going to be, but he's probably going to be a bad guy, as he usually is.
Of course.
Yeah, that's now, what I've got lined up.
Okay.
All right. August. All right, so I'm just going to go down and list the bigger ones. So we've got Guardians of the Galaxy, another Marvel Studios movie from James Gunn, writer-director. I really know nothing about the Guardians of the Galaxy. So basically, with it fitting into the Marvel universe currently set up, I'm down for seeing it. It's got a pretty cool cast. I'm sure it's got a great concept. So my expectations would be that it'll be fun. So hopefully it lives up to that. There's a lot of movies here I really know nothing about. There's something called Lucy by Luc Besson, in the director and writer's chair, being a sci-fi movie with Scarlett Johansson and Morgan Freeman. That enough will get me to go see it. We've got the Ninja Turtles movie listed for August. So I'm not sure if that's actually, like, still set to come out then. I really just don't have any interest in this. There's nothing for me here that says I need to see it. I'll just go back to watching my 80s cartoons. There's other movies that I know nothing about, like Let's Be Cops, The Giver, but it's got, like, Jeff Bridges in it. I just don't know. We've got The Expendables 3. Basically, fuck yeah, I'm next. I love the other two. This one has got, like, a really awesome cast. We've got more Expendables. Apparently, we're finally getting Sin City, A Name to Kill For. I'm down with that. I did enjoy Sin City. We'll just see how it goes. And other movies I have no freaking idea about. So, yeah, that's me. Garrett. Go ahead. Is he there?
I'm sorry. I was talking and I was muted. I'm sorry. Guardians of the Galaxy is directed by James Gunn. That has me curious. But at the same time, James Gunn directed the credit scene of Thor: The Dark World, and that was horrid. So I'm like you, Marcy. I don't know anything about this except it concerns a raccoon with a gun. So maybe that's enough to get me there, but who knows? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Oh, God, could that look any worse? I hope it's okay, but I don't really have much hope for it. I'm not a fan of the Expendables series. I'm sorry. I know I grew up in the 80s, and I should, but for some reason, I just don't like them making the same jokes for an hour and 45 minutes. Sin City, I could care less about because I hate Frank Miller. And that's about all I see that I really wanted to talk about. So
B?
Okay, Guardians of the Galaxy, I know absolutely nothing about. I'm very, very hesitant. But you know what? If I hear good word of mouth, I'll go and see it. Ninja Turtles, go get fucked. Expendables 3. Expendables 3, I'm with Garrett. I must confess, I'm not a huge fan. And, you know, that's my own, you know, personal taste. I don't condemn those who do. Well, maybe except you, Bede, because you're not my friend. I agree with Garrett that Frank Miller is a total pig, but I did enjoy the first Sin City, and I think that A Dame to Kill For could have something good going for it. especially with Eva Green playing a conniving villainess like Eva Lord, so I hope it works. So yeah, that's pretty much all I'm gonna see, or rather not see, in August.
Alright. Make
Guardians of the Galaxy, like, I didn't know much about Guardians of the Galaxy, but it's a Marvel movie, so I'll check it out. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles I will see, and I honestly think the backlash is a little too much, but whatever, that's just my opinion.
You're terrible, you're
but
terrible.
I'll see it for what it is, sorry.
Terrible!
And I'm a Ninja Turtles fan, and I just don't...
Terrible.
...up in arms for a movie that's about Ninja Turtles. Terrible. But anyways...
Terrible.
Whatever. This is like my second most anticipated movie. I'm not ashamed to admit that. I love the first two. This movie looks like it'll just be as fun as a kick-ass time as the other ones. And it's got Mel Gibson and Harrison Ford, so I'm there. Sin City, A Dame to Kill For, which I'm excited about as well because I love the first one. And I can't wait to see come back to that world again. And with all the casts and as well as the new ones, including Eva Green and Josh Brolin. So, and also I do want to mention Jane Got a Gun, because that movie had a lot of controversy last year, recasting, directors dropping out 2 days beforehand and stuff like
that.
Whether it'll end up being good or not, it'll be interesting to see how it all ends up.
All right, we got to pick up pace because my mum just came in here telling me off.
Okay.
We got to hurry up. I'm like, all right.
All right, out of these ones, The Green Inferno, it's Eli Roth's new one. I'll check it out.
I'll check it out too. Sorry, I'm just going to butt in with you. That way we can get back to it fast.
Dark Places, it's based on a book by the same person who wrote Gone Girl. I've heard good things, so I'll check that out.
I want to read the book.
What else is here?
I'm
looking The Drop, which has got Tom Hardy, Noomi Rapace, and the late, great James Gandolfini, so I'll check that out. Walk Among the Tombstones, it's Liam Neeson being a badass once again, so I'll check that out. The Box Trolls, which I saw a trailer for, it looks like a stop-motion movie, it looks like it'll be fun. And The Equalizer with Denzel Washington and Chloe Grace Moretz, directed by the director of Training Day, and I'll see it for that.
There's not much in September. Dark Places, I want to read the book first. I just really don't know much about a lot of things. Like, There's No Good Deed, it has Idris Elba. That's okay, I'll see it if he's in it. I'll see something with him in it, if I can talk. Nothing else is, like, really sticking out at me because I just don't know. This is the time of year where I don't know about anything because I haven't heard of anything. Garrett?
The only question I have is they made a sequel to Dolphin Tale?
Apparently, yes.
I'm with you, Marcy. It's a little too early to tell in September because I'm looking at every single one of these titles and none of them really grab me. That one with Idris Elba you said, that's the only one I really have heard about because I like following that guy's career because I think that guy's I like that guy a lot. I'll see that. But other than that, there's nothing here that grabs me.
I mean, The Equalizer with Antoine Fuqua and Denzel Washington, could be something to watch.
But I didn't like Training Day. I don't like that guy. I don't like Antoine Fuqua. I didn't like Training Day. I liked the first 45 minutes of Training Day, and then it just went into bad territory. So,
B.
I have nothing to add here. There's nothing here that really jumps out at me. But I would like to say,
anyway. All right, then. Moving on to October, which is awesome because that's when my birthday is. Now, I know that there's some movies that aren't listed here, and I will bring up one of them that's not listed, and I do believe it has an October release. I'll bring that up first. The Wild, I believe it is called. It's a movie that my sister produced with Reese Witherspoon, who also is starring in it, as they are partners in their production firm. I think it's based on a book. I haven't read it. But I think from everything that I can see and I've heard, there's a lot of potential there. I think it's just called Wild. Sorry. So that might be one to keep an eye on. And mainly, support my sister for her production work. There we go. And speaking of my sister and producing a movie, we've got Gone Girl. Which she is a producer on. I just finished reading the book, which I thought was really, really good. I couldn't put it down. I'm like, I'm really excited to see David Fincher tackle, you know, that book. And I think the author did the screenplay, and it's got Ben Affleck, Rosamund Pike, Neil Patrick Harris. I think everyone, from reading it and knowing who was cast, I think they kind of really fit. Especially Ben Affleck. I'm really interested to see him in that role. So, yeah, there's that. Not a lot that I know of with these movies. There's something called The Judge with Robert Downey Jr. I don't know anything about it. Apparently it's a comedy drama. I'm just looking. There's something called Dracula Untold with Luke Evans and Dominic Cooper. I don't know anything about it. There's some Vince Vaughn movie, don't care. There's that Ouija board movie, yeah, don't care. Paranormal Activity 5, hey, Paranormal Activity series, kiss my ass because you suck. All right.
By sucking, she means awesome. Because
no, because it fucking sucks. All right.
Yeah, we know what you mean.
Garrett.
Nudge, nudge.
All right. There are three reasons to see Gone Girl for me. A, because it's your sister's production work, Marcy. B, because it's David Fincher. C, because it'll be the last time we see Ben Affleck be good for a very long time. I honestly think this might be an Oscar-nominated role for him. It's just, it has all the potential. I've read the back of the book. I haven't read the book yet.
Fascinating.
After I'm done with Game of Thrones, I will read that book.
Absolutely. Read it.
Other than that, I agree with you, Marcy. Paranormal Activity. Why the hell are you still in my life?
Thank you. High five. What's up, buddy? Sorry. I got excited.
Anything with Robert Downey Jr., I will see. So The Judge, I will see. But yeah, that's about it for that the month of October for me. It just shocks me that there's no really good horror film on the agenda yet, but I guess we'll see that soon.
How about B? I think you might want to mention Dracula Untold. What the fuck is this movie?
Well, from the looks of things, it's going to be like a nitty-gritty story about Vlad Tepes.
Can I point out, Luke Evans is playing Vlad.
Yes.
Who becomes Dracula. I don't know. That just seems weird to me. I mean, I think he could do it, but at the same time, I'll just be like, oh my God, he's so attractive.
And he's so deadly, Marcy, if you see no one lives. But yeah,
he can live in my house. I mean, I'm just, yeah, no. Marcy, shut up. Don't talk about men. All right.
But anyways, B, continue.
Sorry.
Yeah, I'm definitely sold on the whole Gone Girl from what's been said about it. The only thing I don't like is why the hell is Tyler Perry in this movie?
Why the hell does Tyler Perry exist, basically?
David Fincher loves Tyler Perry, man. That's the only way I explain it.
Yuck. Yeah, that's all I'm really sort of... really interested in seeing is Gone Girl, but you know what? If Dracula Untold starts to unfold, so to speak, in terms of detail, I might go and see that too. But so far, just Gone Girl.
All right, Bead.
All right, Gone Girl, I will say it only because if I don't, Marcy will punch me.
Yeah, basically.
And the interview I will see, even though I didn't really care for Seth Rogen's last directorial outfit, The Judge, yeah, I can see that one. Dracula Untold, yeah, I'll see that. Paranormal Activity 5, I will see because it's the only good horror franchise running at the moment. I don't care what anyone says. But anyways...
I'm giving you the bird right now.
I'm giving everyone the middle finger right now. But anyways...
November, let's go. We don't have much time.
Except for me, she's my friend. Anyway, November. Big Hero 6, I've heard bits about it. It's a superhero movie produced by Walt Disney Animations. And since they've been doing better movies and animated films than Pixar lately, I will see it. Interstellar, Christopher Nolan's new film, a sci-fi adventure film about black holes. It has a huge cast, including Wes Bentley.
Hell yeah!
And also, Dumb and Dumber 2, which is the sequel to, of course, Henry V. Anyway, and Fury, which is David Ayer's second movie out this year, the other being Sabotage. It's a World War II film with Brad Pitt and a whole bunch of other people.
Oh, Jason Isaacs. Yes, please.
And Jason Isaacs.
Yeah,
and,
that's good enough.
But also, you got The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, which I'm really excited about, but it will be a bit of a sad occasion to watch it because it's one of the last few films that the late, great Philip Seymour Hoffman made. And also Horrible Bosses 2, which includes Christoph Waltz and Chris Pine as the new horrible bosses. All right. So, Marcy.
All right. There's not a lot I know much about. Interstellar, who knows if this movie's going to make any sense. I'm just going to say that right now. I will go and see it. It has a really good cast. And I like Matthew McConaughey because he takes his shirt off generally. Actually, not anymore since he's doing, like, really good movies. Dumb and Dumber 2, no, just no. The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1, really excited to see it, but as you said, it will be really sad. One of the last things from Philip Seymour Hoffman, and I think they're going to try to just digitally add him in whatever bits are missing because they really don't want to have to replace him. And I think that, honestly, that's fair enough because I'd rather just, you know, see, like, one of the last things he's done, even if that's what they do. Horrible Bosses 2, again, another comedy sequel. Who knows what it'll be like. I liked Horrible Bosses. I'd be down to see Christoph Waltz and Chris Pine in it. And, yeah, that's it for me, Garrett.
Interstellar. I know there are fanboys creaming their pants over this film. That one trailer didn't really do too much for me, but it's just a teaser. Way too early to tell. Dumb and Dumber 2. Is it too late to make a Dumb and Dumber sequel? That's going to be the question that will be answered with that film. I honestly think yes, but I do love that first film, and I think that love will get me excited to see it. Hunger Games Mockingjay. Marcy, me and you are both real big fans of this series. I agree with you about Philip Seymour Hoffman, rest in peace. But that if they do the digital route with that, that would just be terrible.
I think they only have one scene left to do, so I think they could possibly do that.
I don't think it's going to like be a big thing. I just think
it's going to be like Brandon Lee and the Crow, pretty much, is what it's going to be.
Or Oliver Reed and Gladiator or something like that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Horrible Bosses 2. I saw the first one in the theater. Haven't seen it since. It wasn't really memorable. Why they're making a sequel to that, I have no idea.
Money.
Other than that, I mean, I think Interstellar is going to dominate that month. I mean, there's just nothing else that really grabs me. Oh, The Hunger Games, obviously.
Yeah.
I am very excited for Hunger Games and a little bit curious about Interstellar.
And B.
I am curious about Interstellar, and I definitely will be seeing Mockingjay, because, as with all you folks, just one of Philip Seymour Hoffman's final performances, and if anything, it'll be a wonderful send-off for him cinematically, because, you know, there's not going to be a dry eye in the house now. I am somewhat curious about Fury, because it has Jason Isaacs, but then again, it has Shia LaBeouf in it, and I hate that little shit. Interstellar,
everyone.
Yeah, like I said, it's just, I don't know much, if anything, about it, but looking at the cast and looking at the director, I think we'll definitely, get those butts in seats. So, yeah, that's it for me.
All right. And December. All right,
December. All
right. Isn't it me?
No, it's me.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Because didn't you just do that one?
Oh, no, right, it's your turn. Sorry.
Duh. All right. God, he's terrible. All right. We have Exodus, which is another biblical epic with Ridley Scott, and we've got Christian Bale, Sigourney Weaver, Ben Kingsley, Joel Edgerton, Aaron Paul, and John Turturro. It could go anyway. Ridley Scott can be very hit and miss. Interesting cast, interesting, you know, story, so we'll see how that goes. I don't know what this other one is. I'm just looking it up.
That's the Paddington Bear.
Oh, I was thinking it must be Paddington Bear. Probably won't work. The Hobbit, There and Back Again. I'm sure all the Hobbit and Lord of the Rings fanboys will love it and be excited.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen any of them, so there we go. I think there's the new Annie movie. Yeah, I don't know. I know Emma Thompson, I think, has got something to do with the screenplay. Yeah, I'll just go watch the original. Who cares about Night at the Museum 3 and Hot Tub Time Machine 2? Because I haven't seen those originally. Into the Woods, which I think is a Disney thing.
It's a musical.
Yeah, and then we've got Unbroken, Angelina Jolie directing. I really don't know anything about it. So that's really it for me on this one. Garrett.
I'm looking at the month. Is that Terminator film, is that supposed to be coming out that date, that month too, or no?
No, I think it's out 2015.
Okay. Exodus, look, I am a devoted Ridley Scott fan. I think Ridley Scott, you're right, Marcy, he's very hit and miss. I did like Prometheus. The Counselor was very embarrassing. But that film, it reunites him with Sigourney Weaver. And everybody else in that cast, I'm there for that, definitely. I mean, I'll be there. Hobbit, you talked about Hobbit fanboys. I'm one of them. I will be there for that. Angelina Jolie's directing. Look, I think she did a marvelous job with her first directorial film. I think she'll do good with Unbroken. Night at the Museum 2, 3, Hot Tub Time Machine 2, who cares? Into the Woods looks interesting. Yeah, December's always a really, really just packed month because they're trying to get the Oscar stuff going and everything, and I don't know. I'm always at the movies in December, so I'll be there for most of those.
Yeah, no thanks on Night at the Museum 3 or Hot Tub Time Machine 2. Really don't care. Exodus, well, once again, it's a biblical epic. It's like a great big fairy tale brought on the screen. But then again, with Ridley Scott, I find, once again, he is hit and miss. I thought his rendition of Robin Hood was just boring, for lack of a better word. Paddington, if anything, it would keep the kids happy, and it's got itself a good cast. The Hobbit, oh well, I don't need to say much about that now, do I? With Annie, I think it might be a nice little film because it's kind of like turning a couple of conventions on its head. Unbroken, it was directed by Rob Marshall, who also did Chicago, and I really do love Chicago, so I'm looking forward to at least giving that a try the closer it comes. So, yeah, that's me for December.
And Speed.
Exodus, again, I love biblical epics, so I'll definitely check that out. Again, yeah, Ridley Scott's been hit and miss, but I thought his last film, The Counselor, was way better than Prometheus. I know a lot of people disagree with that, but that's my opinion. Paddington Bear, I did grow up on Paddington Bear, so I'll give this one a chance. The Hobbit, yeah, I'll be there for that because, you know, I've written the reviews for the last two films, so I'll have to write a review for this one as well. Not that I'm complaining, because I can't wait to see it. Annie, definitely sort of like both, I'm interested in both, you know, who's involved, both behind the scenes and in front of the camera, so I'll definitely check that out. The first one was Night at the Museum was okay. The sequel kind of sucked. I'll probably end up seeing the third one anyway. Same with Odd Time Machine as well. I've enjoyed the first one. So Into the Woods definitely has a lot of potential, and I like what I've seen so far from it, so it looks like it could be pretty good. And also Unbroken, I heard a lot of good things about it, so I'll definitely check that one out as well.
All right, and that is our 2014 preview show. Sorry to rush everybody, but we were really taking, like, forever. And, when my mum's saying, we gotta go out, I was like, all right. Obviously, we would like to say rest in peace to Philip Seymour Hoffman. Very sad to hear of his passing. And, yeah, just enjoy what he's left us, all those great performances. With that said, everyone can tell us, or tell the listeners where you can find us. As for me, find us at supermarcy.com. You can like us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/sn.com/superpodcast. You can follow my Twitter account at twitter.com/supermarcy. You can send hate mail to Bede. And you can obviously look up Super Marcy Super Podcast on iTunes and subscribe and all that. Bede.
Oh, sorry. Shut up.
How terrible are you, man?
All right. You can find me at just being terrible on a regular basis. by my weekly writings at supermarcy.com with reviews. My latest one, Mandela, A Long Walk to Freedom, is out online now. And I'm also doing a special edition of my Movie Song of the Week series where I'm showcasing all of this year's nominees for Best Original Song and a bunch of other stuff. And I also got a couple other article ideas I'll be writing soon. And as well as my finally get around to my top 10 best and worst of the year list. Also, you can find me at facebook.com/BeJamine, my Twitter page at twitter.com/BeJamine, and also like my The Terrible Australian fan page on Facebook if you want to see more terribleness from me.
And Garrett.
All right, you can find me at Super Marcy. I'm planning on doing more reviews for Marcy's site this year. All she needs to do is just let me know and I will do them. So find my reviews on Marcy's site, supermarcy.com. Mainly you can find me at www.adventureamigos.net. I write reviews for that site. I do a podcast called The Director's Chair where we interview a whole bunch of people in the business as well as critics of the business. We've had Jimmy O, we've had Johnny Moreno. We're planning on having a whole bunch more, including Marcy. So that's going to be fun. That's good times. Everybody on that site, from Dave to B to Scott to everybody, does a magnificent job over there. Please check it out. And like I said, I love Marcy because she's the one who gave me a chance, and I couldn't be happier to be a part of her family. And pretty much all you can find me.
B.
Yes, you can find me on supermarcy.com doing odd jobs around the site. You can also find me on Adventure Amigos Raising Hell with Garrett and the HMS Amigo team. You can find me on the web if you really do want to stalk me, but I can't imagine why you would. That's it for me.
Yeah, and remember to like adventureamigos.net on Facebook, and that's what you will search to find them. So, yeah, we're all one big happy family. And with that, we are out of here. So thank you, everyone, for coming on the show and for having to work around my schedule because my health basically sucks. Glad we finally got to do this. And we will be back with me, Bede and B for our annual pre-Oscar podcast, and hopefully within the next week B and I will be doing a Valentine's Day commentary and we will surprise you with what we're doing, and hopefully we'll be having another director spotlight podcast in the near future. So with that said, thanks everyone, and we're out of here. Bye.
Bye everybody.
Bye-bye. See you, everyone.